united in Christ. There is a preposition most often translated as with that Paul and Luke used a great deal, and basically in the New Testament that was it. And I'll introduce you to that word in just a moment. No other writer, you might as well say, used it. And it has such a deep meaning that it's very difficult to put into English. Many people, most of the writers, used metta. And it was used hundreds of times, where soon, the word I'm going to show you here in a moment, the preposition was only used by Paul and Luke about 160 times. And it means, probably Paul picked it up as being a Hellenist, inasmuch as the Hellenists use it for their Greek mythology. They would call it Sundias in many things. But it means, as Mitte comes from the, well, you might say like the German mit. Mit means in the midst thereof. That's what the other Mitte basically means, is to be among. But Sun means to be within. There's a great deal of difference that we have God within us. Now, it's very difficult for the English reader to distinguish this and its usage. You might as well not look for it anywhere other than in Luke and the writings of Paul, Paul covers most of the New Testament. But I'm sorry, even your Strong's won't help you on this one, basically, because it only uses soon for mita soon and all other words, prepositions, translated with in English. But it is a divine declaration, a statement, simply within a preposition, as we would say in the word with. I feel that in a sense, this is why we feel such a close walk with God. So many people want to put him off in space or somewhere, and Paul wanted to nail this home. That, no, not only when we're with him in heaven are we with him, but we are not only with him, but he is within us, and we as fellow laborers. This is why he can guarantee us that we are secure in him, because he's going to take care of you if you're one of his election, that is to say, one that does his work. Now, and for those in the tape audience, I'm picking up a crayon here, and I'm going to make a Greek sigma, and then I'm going to make a upsilon, and then I'm going to make a nun, which looks very much like the English V, only it happens to be N. It translates from the Greek S-U-N, sun. And it's probably pronounced by the English tongue as S-O-O-N, sun. Now, mitta, the word most often used in the Greek, simply means among, not within. So, again, very difficult to translate into English, easy to transliterate, S-U-N. But to give the full meaning of actuality, that we are in him, not just with. We are in him, and he is in us. That's what this word means. And a clue, those of you that want to look, you might take the Greeks in a linear. And when you see with translated sigma, upsilon, nun, that's what you've got, is Paul's signature, Paul or Luke's thumbprint, that they want you to go not just to with, but to the higher reaches, to know that God is in us and we are in Him, and that should bring you security because of the promises. This goes much further than just might seem on the surface. It's an exciting kind of a private study, you might say, for the person that likes to get into the Word a little deeper. For what is Emmanuel? Emmanuel, fully translated, is God with us. Soon, God is in us. That is Christ. Okay. Paul would use many times, he would use which is Cairo, with Christ. He calls it his statement. And many scholars down through the years get a little bit upset about this. They say, what is Paul trying to say here? Well, Paul was correct. It was his statement. Because there is a statement within the compound preposition. When you know the full value of the word, soon, to say, not that God is with us to protect us, standing, watching over us, but that He is in us. In fact, when you die with Christ, you live with Christ. When you do Christ's work, then that is Christ working in you. In a sense, that's why none of us could ever get on an ego trip. When you understand the full value, the divine nature of the language, that it is the Holy Spirit touching you and giving you the grace and the ability to do His work, not yours, His work. So we could translate it united with God, joined with God. That doesn't quite get it in English because it's within. It changes the man not from the outside, but from the inside. Not changes, but strengthens him from inside in his spiritual self to be able to do the things and the work of God. In a sense, when we say we die with Christ, we just about have to put self to one side as much as possible. And Paul himself even states in a place or two, I had difficulty with that at times. But when you are doing God's work, then it's going to be successful, it will be Christ working in you. And that makes Christianity not a religion, but a reality. An absolute. A perfect set of data that you have before you that you can absorb and believe, knowing that He loves you. Okay, I want you to open your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to put this word to use in one place here so we can get a little better grasp of it. It would seem very strange that a pastor would teach a lecturer on one word, and that word not even being a noun or a pronoun, but a preposition. But that's the way the Greek is. It's fixed. And it says a great deal more than is written. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I will begin reading verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. His grace, His love, His favor. You can be strong in it, not out of it, not among it, but in it. And that's not the word. I just emphasize. Verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, wasn't kept a secret, many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. In other words, I want you to absorb this well enough that not only do you understand it, but through the years you will be able to teach others this same truth. 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In other words, you toughen yourself up where you can take the hard knocks, that is to say, you're part of it. Christ never, I don't know why some people think, well, I was supposed to be converted and it was just supposed to be a wonderful life, never a problem, and just everything just sailed so smooth. God never promised you that. What God did, he gave you the wisdom to be able to handle it, to keep it in line, to be a can-do type person, where you can overcome the adversary. He didn't say he was going to keep the adversary off of you if you allow him, but he would tell you how to do it. And when he guarantees that he will even work within you to help you, how can you lose? How can you be a loser? You can't if you understand the relationship that is promised to you from Almighty God. Verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who? The commander. Who is our commander? You know, Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, who hath chosen him to be a soldier. He chose you to be a soldier. So get your act together, shape up, or you're liable to ship out. That's his attitude. And when he blesses you, that's done all in kindness and love, but discipline is required to serve God if you want his blessings. You can't run hot and cold. Do you know what he said he would do with that? Spew you out, ship you out. You're not fit to serve in his army. He wants people he can depend on. When he says march, he doesn't want to hear mumbling, he wants to hear footsteps in cadence. Oh well, the old Marine's beginning to come out a little bit here, and be that as it may, all right? But it's true. When he is in you, he expects. I mean, after all, his name is on you. You represent him. What can he expect? He expects the best. I'm sorry, many of us fall, we slip. But don't stay down, get up, and show him that you're a can-do type person, someone that can teach God's word, that can suffer a little hardship without a whimper. Verse 6, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits, that is to say, the first fruits, and that's exactly the way it is. I'm sorry, I missed 5, didn't I? I'm going to back and get it because it's very important. Extremely important. Verse 5 after verse 6. And if a man also strive, that this is kind of like someone training for a world championship, an athletic, okay? If a man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully? Underline that in your mind. What does it mean, lawfully? You must work within the law of whatever nation you're in as best as possible, or you're not going to have God's blessings. It's so easy, so very easy to be wiser than the serpent and be able to go around a post rather than rooting it out when it's a harmless thing, not going to give anybody any harm because of ignorance. That you would step outside of the law to defeat it. That's ignorance. Absolutely allowing Satan to win in your specific case because he's got you. He'll have you put away. Sorry, that's the way it works, friend. That's simple common sense. Now verse 7. Consider. This means you meditate. You think. Stop. Think. Consider what I say. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. You think it and you rethink it. And you will understand better the things of God's word, what he expects from you. Verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David, there you have the key of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. what is his gospel? Christ's gospel. Don't get upset with that, that Paul would say that. It's Christ's gospel. 9. Or you can go to the full translation if it bothers you. What is the gospel? It's God's spell. And verse 9. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. In other words, sometimes I'm thrown in prison for teaching God's word, and the world treats me as an evil man when I'm doing right, but the word of God is not bound. You cannot imprison the word of God. You can't snuff it out. You can't take it away. You can't change it. It is solid. It is set in concrete. The world will change. This age will pass away, but God's word shall never change. So the quicker you can understand it, the less you have to suffer the knots and the bumps and the problems along the way. It's that simple. And the more you can accomplish, therefore receiving more blessings. Verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake. Important. Absorb that. I put up with it for the elect's sake. Why? He wants them to go and teach. He said it prior, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Not some little short spurt-of-the-moment thing, but eternal. That means forever, living in the kingdom of God. And in a sense, being one of his servants and helpers there. A servant to all, yes, but working with the commander-in-chief, knowing that what he expects from you, you can produce. Though you may waver, though you may fall short, hey, you can cut it. You know why? He's in you. He's not going to let it happen forever. Don't give up. Get up and go again, and it'll be fine. Verse 11, it is a faithful saying, and here is where Paul coins the phrase, okay? It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, did you note the word with? Soon. If we be in him in his death, we shall also live with, soon, him. What? In eternal life. Now, there is no way that in the death, that it's only that you die a spiritual death. You let the old man die a little bit rather than dying a spiritual death and live. You live with him, in him. Therefore, you have the bind of soon, that he is in you and you are in him. You share those experiences because you can feel them. I don't know anyone that believes on Christ and would remember back to his trip to that cross and being nailed to it and shedding his blood for you, that you couldn't spiritually experience that with him, inasmuch as it was done for you, and feel it within, not without, but within your own heart, that you died, your old man, that is the old man that wanted to do this or do that, died with him. And a better person raised from that knowledge and experience of soon with, that is to say, probably if it were translated within, it would be a better translation, but it still falls short in the in-depth meaning of the word soon. 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. It's that simple. It's cut and dried. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. In other words, the word of God will be, it will come to pass exactly as it's written, and no man can detour that course. God is always faithful. That's why you can count on him. That's why you can count on his blessings, when you from within will reach out to him and love him, want him, search for him, search for his way, For we try to put the ways of the world behind us. What does that consist of? Well, it's real easy to get caught up in greed, especially someone born during the Depression. Well, I don't know. That's really, I'm probably making a misstatement, because we in the Depression found out how to get by on little, all right, and found out it worked pretty good sometimes. But it's just human nature. You want more, and that can establish greed. But do you know how foolish that is, to be greedy? Because if you just relaxed a moment and fell back into the Lord's soon doing His work and continue your profession that you're doing, He'll make you rich. You didn't have to worry about it. His blessings are, in certain cases, riches. If you use common sense, follow His way. Example, don't get caught up in usury. Getting caught up in usury is like you saying, I want to pay more than anybody else. I want other people to be able to buy that for $200, but I want to pay five. What kind of nut is that? But that's what it is. That's what you're doing. It's getting all wrapped up. You know, who wants to pay more when you can get it for less? See, He says, don't do that. And do you see how much ahead of the game that sets you, where you're not caught up in that web? You can do a lot with so little if you'll do it His way. Okay, I don't want to digress, but I can't help putting, he wants you to see the value. Put this right down where the rubber meets the road, to understand that having Him in you makes you a pretty smart person. It keeps you out of trouble in the world. And the bonus is His blessings poured out on you, your children, your family. The richness of His grace being in you. Can you imagine that? Think of all the bad thoughts that have gone through your mind, and think that He still loves you enough that He will still abide in you and help you in these things on repentance. He's wonderful. But He wants you to be somebody. He wants you to be a servant with His brand upon you, Christian, Christ man, that sets an example of, hey, that guy really knows how to get it done. You know what? You bet. Know why? We're can-do type people. We don't whimper, we don't whine, we don't complain about this, that, or the other, unless we've just got some time to waste and it just makes you feel good to get it off your chest. Fine, go ahead. But do something about it. Don't just sit there like a bump on a log, because the only place a bump on a log ever goes is into the fire. Or birds roost on it. And that's not a very nice bump after that. Just had to throw that in. Well, anyway, I guess you noted he used that same preposition in the 11th verse. It makes that such a rich verse. It's a saying of His, and you can't see the depth of it unless you understand the preposition soon. Not just in the midst, not just among, God is among us. He is within. That's where the spiritual man dwells. Well, is this a new thing? Well, not that particular Hellenist or Greek verb will be used there, but let's just check God out a minute. What is He really saying? And perhaps soon will help you in the Greek, will help you better understand even some Hebrew. Go with me to Isaiah in the Old Testament. Open your Bible right in the middle and you'll be there just about. Chapter 41. Chapter 41. I'm going to begin reading with verse 9, and it reads, Isaiah 41, verse 9. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Well, now think about the power. I'm not going to cast you away as long as you will serve me. That's verse 9. 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. That's Christ's name, Emmanuel, God with us. All right, you understand? I am with thee, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And righteousness is what? I'm going to do you right. And friend, he'll do you more right than any human being will, if you'll listen to it. That's his promise. And he wasn't beating the bushes. He's not hard up for people. He takes those that will listen. He takes those that will conform to the image of God within us. Verse 11. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. What are you afraid of? If anything, you better feel sorry for them, because God means it. Somebody messes with his elect, hey, give them 3 months, 6 months. Something's going to happen to them. Bad, not good. God doesn't like anybody messing with his anointed. Verse 12. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contend with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. And do you know something, beloved? I think probably that this ministry, we war against, there's a great controversy in this world and a war, a spiritual war. And we're not perfect. I'm not saying that. But God adds nearly 3 new stations every week to this ministry. 3 new television stations. That's a lot. That creates an accumulation of giving you power. And those that would come against us are as nothing. They can't bother us. Why? Lawfully, within the confounds, you can teach God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse and make it stick. And they don't amount to anything, those that would speak against you. Who cares? They want to be ignorant, let them be ignorant. For they always will be anyway, most likely. Unless they decide that all wisdom comes from our Father and decide to mature and grow up and be somebody. Verse 13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. My friend, Christians should never doubt. We should never worry. He's walking with you, holding your hand from within. If you have the faith to believe, do you dare believe? I don't know. It's up to you. That's your problem. 14, fear not, thou worm, Jacob. This worm in the Hebrew means the weakness of man. Jacob being meaning all the natural seed. Weakness. And ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Now, if the one that redeems, you know what that means? That means saves you, that blesses you. If he's the one that's helping you, I mean, he's the judge. That's what I'm trying to say. You got it made in court, friend. You got it made in the highest court of either heaven or earth. Because the judge is holding your right hand. And he's fair. And that's all anyone should ask for, is a fair break. You can handle the rest of it, as long as you get a fair break. And my friend, listen to me. You make your own breaks. Don't be one of these poor me babies. The whole world's picking on me. Well, you're destroying yourself when you take that attitude. That's shameful. They're just all against me. You know, I just really, it makes me uncomfortable when somebody says, I'm right and the whole world's wrong. I'm really a good guy and the whole world is just the biggest bunch of eggheads you ever saw in your life. What kind of person do you think would... Okay, enough said. God's holding our hand. Act like it. 15. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth that shall thresh the mountains. That means nations. And beat them small, and shall make the hills a chaff. I will take even the little countries. I'm going to mix them up, mince them up, chew them up. With what? Truth that Satan's lies fall to the side. Boy, he has given us quite a threshing machine in Big Mama. That's for you that are new, that's the dish down behind the old rink down there. Or the chapel, rather, okay? Hey, we're not particular. What he gives us, we'll use it to our advantage, all right? To his advantage. Why? He holds her right hand. How could you go wrong? And the nations chew up pretty easy, especially when they have children as rulers. It's not no step for a stepper, no step for a chosen one of God, okay? Now, naturally, he was talking about Christ there, all right? He is our threshing instrument. And I've called back to the word soon. He's in you. So that makes you a reaper, right? A thresher with love. 16. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind, what's wind? Hurrah, the spirit, shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. That also Christ. He is the Holy One. And he's your friend. He wants to be in you, not with you. He wants to be in you to help you, to give you a mind that can discern spiritually, financially, in this world, whereby you make the right decisions most of the time. We all mess up. We have to do that. Why? That's part of the process of learning. If you don't learn anything from some one thing, you do learn something because you learn don't do that anymore. Don't go there anymore. It's a waste of time. You always learn something. Even when it's all bad, you still learn something. All right? So take advantage of every day of your life to improve what you have up here between your ears. And don't make the same mistakes over and over and over, like the old boy that drove by our place and he got stuck in the same mud hole day after day after day. He never learned. And some people are that way. Don't not learn from your mistakes. They're expensive. Your mistakes of getting involved in usury are so expensive you can't afford it. No one can. It's expensive. It's such a waste. I could go on and on, but I think enough said. God is with us. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 1. It just comes to mind. I can't help it. Jeremiah, we'll just take about four verses there. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, I'm going to read. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, 5, before, now catch that, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. What does that mean? That means that God knew Jeremiah's spiritual body before he was ever born to woman. He was with him. He knew he was a can-do type person. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. 6. Then said I, old Jeremiah speaking, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. I'm just a young person. I don't understand your word. I don't understand your ways. 7. But the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child, For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. You're going to say it. Now that's important. How can you do that if you do not have him in you? His word in your mind, well groomed for the chore. Be not afraid of their faces. You don't have to fear the world, giants or anything else. For I am with, I repeat, with, preposition, with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. How can you miss? How can you go wrong if you have faith? If soon you have him within you rather than without. Verse 9, one more verse. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. That's all it takes. Do you know something? If God called you, you are a driven person. You cannot refrain from studying, from research, from digging into his word, from wanting to share what you've learned with others. It's a burning cold in your very center within. Do you think that's just you? That's God within you saying, get cracking. Do it. All right? That's the way he works. And many people say, well, God never says anything to me, and he burns their little old gizzard every day, just about, you know, saying, hump it, go. God never speaks to me. I'll get around to it tomorrow. Well, there, tomorrow never comes, my friend. But occasionally there comes that one that is driven and will not cease, regardless of what, because why? God's not going to let him, all right? Okay, verse 10, one more. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out. I want you to get what God wants done, all right, of this prophet. And you're supposed to study the prophet, so that means you fall within that category of doing. I have this day set thee over the nations, over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down. Now take a deep breath. To build, and to plant. That's the restoration. You don't tear something down without building something better. You don't tear up somebody's way of thinking without replacing it with something far better. Okay, so I thought of that because it is such an assurance. And if you're a Christian, you should believe God's word. And God says, I am with you. Don't be afraid. Hey, if you trust me, I'm going to do it for you as long as you will pull your part of the load. All right? Okay, in closing, we're going to beat it back to the New Testament. One of the best chapters in God's word, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Some call it the resurrection chapter. I call it the where are the dead chapter, basically. But again, we're going to have soon here in this particular chapter. 1 Corinthians, New Testament, chapter 15 and verse 9. And I will begin reading there. This is Paul speaking. For I am the least of the apostles. Paul's saying, they're all better than me. That am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. And boy, did he. I mean, you want to talk about a super sinner. Paul was a super sinner before God struck him down on the road to Damascus. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Beloved, what are you? What are you? But by the grace of God, you are what you are. And he, as his child, and as much as he owns everything, you can kind of be whatever you want to be. Not overnight, necessarily. It may take years, but you can get there. But overnight makes a big difference. to be headed in the right direction. And his grace, which was bestowed up on me, was not in vain. He didn't waste his time whistling Dixie. I took advantage of it. That's what he's saying. But I labored more abundantly than they all. I may be the worst of the apostles, but I worked harder than they all, yet not I. He's not taking the credit for it. He was driven. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was soon me, with me, soon, underline it, in me. It was the grace of God in me. It was the God in me that drove me through that hard work. And naturally from that, what do we have today? Most of the New Testament. What about his grace in you? Think about it. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so we believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now, he's answering here probably to the best of his ability, which was sufficient, about soul sleep. Are they out here in a hole in the ground? All right, if you ever need to really have a backer upper on the rest of it, this will give you that place. Why? The Sadducees here said there, hey, when you die, that's it, friend. You just push over and start popping daisies right there, that's all. He said, how can you claim to be a Christian and still believe that they're dead? All right, 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Now stop about that. If they were following Christ, and they're out here in a hole in the ground, how can you say Christ is risen? What's fair about that? What's just? How could you dare teach that? Teach him to be a loving shepherd and his sheep out here in a hole in the ground. All right, think about it. 14, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Vain means empty. If you don't believe Christ arose, why in the world would you want to be a Christian? He wouldn't have any more power than John Brown down the road here that kicked off and is laying, some say he's laying out there in the ground. He's not. But yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. If we teach that he arose and he didn't, we're a bunch of fakers. Because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised up not, if so be that the dead rise not. In other words, we would be a bunch of fools if that were the case. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. It'd be a mess, all right? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. They haven't been forgiven. How could a dead man forgive your sins? He couldn't. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. All of them, you've got a big old tombstone out there. Forget it. Scratch them off. They're gone forever. But that's not the case. You know it and I know it. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Let me read that again. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If you only think while the old ticker is ticking here in your flesh body, and that's it, you would be miserable because you'd say, is this it? Get up in the morning and go to work and put up with those people I work with and come home and here's my mate. Have to put up with her too. And this is it? This is life? Wonderful mates. I'll tell you, it's good to be in each other. Okay? Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. I mean, he freed the prisoners. He cut them loose. For God's word does not bind, but it releases, it sets us free. Why? He's got our right hand. How can we go wrong? Many of you, if you stop and think, there's been a time in your life and you know there was more to God's word than you'd been taught. you were going down to do a certain thing and all of a sudden something turned you, or something happened different, or something questioned you and words just popped out. And it even shocked you because it made such good sense. Where did I come up with that answer? You know, think about it, all right? God protects His own. Now, one more verse and we're going to close, and guess what it's going to be? It's going to be 1 Thessalonians. We're a few chapters back from where we are there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm only going to read one verse. And this is the last soon we will cover today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 10. Just one little old verse. You're all familiar with this chapter. This is where he said, you need not that I tell you when the end's going to be, because you've seen the signs and you should know the season of my return, his return. Just picking this one verse out of there for the soon that's within it. Verse 10, chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians. Speaking of Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, whether you're dead or alive, we should live together with Him. The preposition, with, soon. In Him and with Him. If you understand what that preposition means after we've discussed it, that means that even when this flesh dies, you're still in Him and He's in you and you're with Him. All right, do you understand? It is larger than life on earth in the flesh. It's far greater. That's why it's so difficult and you feel so inadequate to try to teach the meaning of that one little preposition. Because it's very difficult to put in words. It's something that you almost have to feel from within. That's just kind of the way it is. He and us. And us, I'll use that English, us in Him. Emmanuel, God with us, with soon. Meaning, we're in Him and He's in us. And He came as that Savior, soon. It's a beautiful word. So beautiful. And I feel so inadequate in trying to recap or put a crown on that when He is the crown of that preposition. For He's got our right hand. He has our heart. He guides our mind. We don't have anything to worry. We are a sheep. And He's the shepherd. And a shepherd always, always takes care of his sheep. Okay, Father, we thank You for Your written word, Father. Thank You for the wisdom that You bestowed in those that set forth Thy word for us in this Holy Scripture. Thank You for giving us the understanding to teach, Father, and to understand that word. We'll be careful and careful to know that it is Thy grace in us. And we give You that wonderful glory that you so richly deserve for sharing with us. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.